Please open your hearts to the Word of God, as written in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 23, which was passed through Paul in a letter he wrote while he was in prison in Rome to the Ephesian people as well as to us today. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Let's hear now the gospel lesson that comes this morning from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 31. Hear these words. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. As we come together today on this All Saints Sunday, the first Sunday in November, a story comes to mind that I heard along the way, and whether it was true or whether it was not true, I think it would be good to kind of hear it. Well, the story was about two brothers. Brothers in a small urban town. And these two brothers were probably the most corrupt people that you would meet. They cheated people. They deceived people. They were unkind to people. And they were kind of known to have some connection to possible some mob activities. Well, it wasn't a disappointment to many in that town when the oldest brother passed away. And the younger brother wanted to give him a suitable funeral. And so he went from church to church until he found one church, one of those big downtown churches that was, the walls were crumbling, needed about probably $200,000 worth of work. And the younger brother met with a pastor and said, "I don't know you. I've never been to church at your church. I've never really gone to church, but my brother's passed away, and I want to give him a suitable burial." And the gentleman said to the minister, he said, "And if you will do this sermon for his funeral, and if you'll call him a saint during that funeral sermon, I'll give your church $100,000. So the minister thought, and the minister said he would do it, but with one condition. And that condition was that $100,000 check be given to the church treasurer before the funeral started. And so what happened was, his younger brother agreed, gave the church treasurer the $100,000 check, and there was the day of the funeral. And in the congregation of the funeral that day, there were all kind of seedy people. But then there were people there who were just so curious to see why this minister would do this sermon for this person. And so the service started, and it started like many funerals start, with the traditional hymns and the traditional scriptures. And then came the sermon. And about 5 minutes into the sermon, the minister started talking about all the deceitful things, the evil things that the person who passed away had done. And he kept going on and on and on about all the bad things that this person had done. And that older brother sat in that front pew and knew that this minister was not living up to his part of the bargain. And he became red, but he couldn't do anything because he didn't want to make a show in front of the other people. And so the minister finally raised his voice and kept going on, and he said, "This man was deceitful, and this man lived an ugly life and a sinful life, and this man did horrible things to people and took people's money and had vices of gambling. But compared to his younger brother, he was a saint." But really, All Saints Day, when we talk about what it is to be a saint and why we are called to be saints. Well, my brothers and sisters, All Saints Day has been celebrated in churches for hundreds and hundreds of years. But in the Protestant church, you know, it's been something as of late that we've really begun to embrace this idea of the saints of God. And if we look in Scripture, Scripture has the word saints all over it. If you look at the scriptures of Paul, when Paul starts writing a letter to the different churches in Corinth, the Roman church, the Ephesus church, he says, "I, Paul, to the saints of the church." And he refers to those people who are worshiping and believing that they are the saints of the church. And that is such a telling thing, because sometimes we have this image of sainthood as something that is so distant from us, that is only reserved for few people. But in actuality, God calls us all to be his saints. And saints are people who love him and serve him, but by their faith live out the command that God has given them. And that's the true essence of what it means to be a saint. And as we kind of enter this time of worship today in All Saints Day, we remember those people in our own lives that we could call the saints of our lives. And I think I want you all to remember somebody in the recesses of your mind, somebody who was so important maybe in showing you the way to the Lord our God Almighty. Someone who was so important that even though things were tough and rough, encouraged you and kept you going. You see, those people are the saints. Someone whose faith was so strong that when your faith faltered, you could lean on. Those are the saints of God. And so God calls us all today to that word sanctus in Latin that means holy. He knows that we're not perfect. Just as Paul knew that those early churches were churches that weren't made up of perfect people. We're not all perfect people. But by our faith, we commit our lives to Jesus Christ. And by our faith, we continue on the journey of His ministry and His work. And so today, you are the saints. God is calling us to remember all those who have gone before us. You know, November is kind of one of those months where we just are filled with thanksgiving. And I love it because we start with All Saints Sunday. And then next Sunday, we'll honor those who sacrificed their lives for our country. And then we get to Thanksgiving Sunday. And we realize as the body of Christ, we are called to be the saints of God. And so today, now as we get ready to remember those who gave intentions for All Saints, what I'm going to be doing is I will be reading the names of those people who put intentions. And if you are a family member or if you want to come up and light one of the candles, feel free to do that. If not, Phil will do that. But I ask now that this time be a time of joy and remembrance as we remember the saints in your lives and those saints here in Ross Community Church.
Bob Baker, 1924 to 2001, and Teresa Baker, 1928 to 1994, parents of Debbie Flannery. Mary C. Blyton, 1920 to 2013, mother of Brenda Brown. June Brown, 1930 to 2010, mother of Phil Brown. Eula Bowling, 1925 to 2004, Hugh Bowling, 1921 to 1993, parents of Brenda Oliver. Diana Lynn Fry, daughter, Fred Estep, husband, Daniel Manley, brother, offered by Ruth Estep. Wanda Etter, 1928 to 2013, sister of Novella Braunfield. Diane Foster, 1935 to 2007, mother of Butch Foster. Mm-hmm. Anna George, 1925 to 2013, mother of Millie Singleton. The Gleasons and the Halls, parents of Austin and Lois Gleason and their loved ones. George Gump, 1937 to 2011, husband of Jean Gump. Catherine Jacobs, 1924 to 2001, mother of Linda and Steve Jacobs. Grace Koenig, 1924 to 1997, mother of Leslie Fisher. Kevin Freddy Cruz, 1983 to 2007, son of Robin Montgomery. John Kunick, 1921 to 1994, Irene Kunick, 1925 to 1996, parents of Linda Kunick, Debbie Kunick, and Sandy Hogback. Kathy Leichman, 1948 to 2005, sister of Linda Estep. Anita Chickie Massey, 1942 to 2013. Angel Dawn McGinnis, 1998 to 2010, granddaughter of Crystal Favor. Virgil Napier, 1927 to 2008, father of Vicki Foster. Maxine Oliver, 1911 to 1995, John Oliver, 1905 to 1977, parents of Bill Oliver. Travis Payne, 1990 to 2002, grandson of Sandy Hogback. In honor of our parents, Don and Barb Reckel. Cleta Rogers, 1924 to 1998, sister of Wayne Estep. Michael Whalen, 1946 to 2013, brother of Nancy Beckman. Harold Zecker, 1928 to 1975, father of Tim Zecker. I'm going to ask Phil to light a candle now in honor of all of our fallen veterans, those who have served this country, men and women who have gone to now to their eternal rest and reward. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Father, as these candles glow, we remember the saints that you have set before us.
And Father, now we remember also that we too are called to follow in their footsteps, to be called saints and to know your will and your work. Bless us now as we have honored these. Bless this tradition that we began today, that we may continue to love and serve you with all of our hearts, holy and blessed and faithful. We ask this in Jesus Christ. Amen.